Well, it's delightful again to be with you all. You missed out on a good service at 9:30. We had a chance to learn a dance. But I guess the 11 o'clock service is a non-dancing service. But if you want to learn that later, you can ask Hugh. He'll teach you. I remember as a young seminarian having a tremendous joy and privilege to have lunch two times with Uncle John. I still remember him telling me stories of his bird watching and his hopes to eventually publish a book to capture and communicate some of his adventures, and most importantly, what we can learn from birds about faith and God. Ornithology, I think, is the term that he coined. I was delighted to find out years later that that book had actually been published. And I'm happy to have a copy of that in my library next to the copies of the Lausanne Covenant, the drafting of which Uncle John led. It was also a great joy to spend time with the other co-founder of the Lausanne movement, Billy Graham, soon after my installation as the new leader of Lausanne. And an unforgettable experience as well recently on March 2nd, attending Billy Graham's funeral. More than any other scripture, Billy Graham preached on John 3:16, his favorite verse in the Bible. And let me read that very familiar and wonderful verse again as we begin. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Please join me in prayer. Father, in your divine wisdom from eternity past, you knew that this verse, John 3:16, out of the 23,145 verses in the Bible, would be perhaps the most known, most shared, most loved verse in the whole world. And you also knew that this most familiar verse could be, for your people, perhaps equally in danger of being the most taken for granted, the most presumed, the most neglected verse in the Bible. So, Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts. Help us to see afresh and clearly and deeply the power of this familiar word. Help us to know deeply this familiar truth, both for ourselves and for others' sake. And for any here who perhaps are hearing this word for the very first time, may you bring this truth alive and bring them a life eternal in this good word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a whole world out there hoping, longing, suffering, lost, hurt, confused, dying. Sometimes we feel that there's nothing we can do about it. 7.6 billion people in the world, 1.3 billion of them live in extreme poverty. 1 billion are unable to read or sign their name. 2 billion have inadequate access to safe water. 4 billion lack basic sanitation. There are an estimated 46 million people in the world who are enslaved today. 65 million people are refugees, displaced because of war, poverty, persecution, famine. All of this is just the physical side of the brokenness of our world. Spiritually, according to the Joshua Project, there are more than 6,000 distinct ethno-linguistic people groups, unreached people groups, who have little to no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know that 86% of the Muslims, Buddhists, and Hindus in this world do not personally know a single Christian? I want to ask you to do something. I want you to think about your life. In particular, I want you to think about your life before you came to know of the eternal life that John speaks about in chapter 3. And one of the things that I love about John 3:16 is that moment when people hear that verse and realize that is speaking about me. God so loves me. God gave his one and only Son for me. God offers me eternal life. So I want you to think about your life before that moment. Before Jesus came into your life, what was your life like before Jesus, without Jesus? Or if you are not a Christian today, I invite you to consider your life today, where you feel your highest hopes, your deepest pains, and to consider learning more about the good news of Jesus Christ. What was your life like? Now, let me invite you to consider another thought. What might your life be like now if you had never heard and responded to the good news of Jesus? Who would you be? What would you be living for? What might your life look like? Work and family, leisure, money, without Jesus? I don't know about you, but that's kind of a really sobering exercise for me. Let me ask you to think about one more thing. I want you to picture a person. I want you to think about the person who most helped you to see and understand and receive the good news of Jesus. Who was that person? And how did that person help you? And perhaps you can quietly in your heart give thanks to God for that person. And finally, I want you to think about another person. I want you to think about the person who helped you to see and understand the gospel, to see and understand the gospel. Now, you may have no idea who that person is, but there was someone, and someone helped that person even before, and someone helped that person who helped that person even before. God used a line of people throughout all of history that led to you seeing and hearing and receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And it never would have reached you if just one of those people said, "No, I'm not going to share the good news of Jesus with others." And somewhere in that line of people that led to you, there was a missionary or multiple missionaries who crossed rivers and valleys and oceans, who crossed cultures, who crossed languages in order to share that good news that eventually led to you. God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son. Jesus Christ died for sinners, sent by the Father in love, sacrificed for sinners. God so loved you that he sent all those people to share the good news that led to you. Yours is a precious life because you are so loved by God. Now, I opened by sharing about the billions who are suffering in so many ways among the 7.6 billion people in the world. I'm not sure that humans can grasp the scale of billions. Perhaps that's why we feel it's impossible to do anything about those massive challenges. There's nothing I can do about it. This brokenness of our world. But even if we can't grasp the scale of billions who are lost without Christ, we can grasp the value of one life. And each one of those 3 billion people who have little to no access to the gospel is a precious life, as precious as yours and mine. And each of those precious lives are a part of the whole world and the whosoever. Like I said, it is wonderful that we hear John 3:16 and we realize it's for me. But it's tragic if when we hear John 3:16, we think it's only about me. We are not the whole world, And each one of the 7.6 billion people in the world are so loved by God. And God can so love those 7.6 billion through you. The Lausanne Movement talks about calling the whole church to bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Who is that whole church? First of all, it is the global church, and I love how so much of the global church is represented in this room. I love this. It is followers of Jesus Christ across every nation on earth. It is men and women and children. It's young and old. It's introverts and extroverts, those who are shy, those who are outgoing, those who are Tottenham fans. Congratulations on not losing a star player to the Korean army for 21 months. I was cheering for you. Even for those who are Arsenal fans. As we mentioned later on today, I'll be speaking about love your enemies. But whatever the category, you are a part of the whole church. But we don't always believe that every single one of us is a participant in Christ's mission. Now, we don't really say it like this, but this is basically how we view gospel ministry. Well, locally speaking, we pay our pastors to preach the gospel and to explain the gospel to anyone who's not a Christian who happens to stumble into our church. Globally speaking, you know, we support and we pray for our missionaries. They're the ones who go and they share the gospel with the world. Those pastors, those missionaries, they are the professionals. But here's the problem. The 1%, the 1% of those who are in professional ministry will never reach the world with the gospel. Why? First of all, the 1% numerically are not enough. There's only one missionary for every 150,000 Japanese. There's only one missionary for every 500,000 Muslims. Have you ever tried to calculate how long it takes to share the gospel with 500,000 people? And you wonder why missionaries always look so tired. So an important part of how the gospel is going to go to the whole world is in the raising up of missionaries and the sending out of more missionaries. And I hope All Souls will continue to be a part, continue to lead in this. In fact, I believe that toward the fulfillment of the Great Commission, we'll need to triple the number of missionaries in the world. That is a great challenge globally. Now, the challenge to the spread of the gospel locally is this. If we rely upon pastors and those in professional Christian ministry to share the gospel, it will never touch many people's lives and many spheres of society. We want people in the arts and technology, sports, science, media, law to be touched by the gospel. But your pastor doesn't have access to those spheres. The best chance, for example, that your pastors might have of reaching football players would be perhaps to win kind of the equivalent of the lottery and become the chaplain of Manchester United. Manchester United, in case you're listening to this sermon, I want you to know I'm available. How about other spheres of society? I bet that in your workplace, you don't have a chaplain. I'm pretty sure BP Oil doesn't have a chaplain or the BBC. It'd be great if they did, but I don't think they do. So the only way that people in your company, in your school, in your neighborhood, on your sports team, in your restaurant, or in your theater troupe are going to be touched by the gospel is through you. You are God's purpose. You are God's plan. You are God's strategy. A longtime Lausanne leader, Gideon Paramalam, shared with me about Leah Sharibu, a 15-year-old Nigerian Christian. Leah was captured by Boko Haram along with 104 other Dapchi girls from the Yobe state of Nigeria. There was recently a negotiation that led to their release, all 105 of them, except Leah. The condition of their release was to renounce Christ. She refused to deny her Lord in exchange for her freedom. Here are some words from another dear African Lausanne friend about her. He said, "I'm humbled by her faithfulness to Christ. She boldly preached the gospel to the abductors and to us. She did it with more integrity and conviction than many so-called men and women of God." Men and women of God, and that you are. I know that it's a challenge for you to share the gospel. It's not easy. We don't want to risk our jobs, our friendships, our neighbors, our families. That might be why for so many people it's much easier, more comfortable for them to share the gospel with those that they don't know at all, rather than those they know and love. But what is at risk for them, both strangers and for those you know and love? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish. Perishing means being under the wrath of God. Here in John 3:16, perishing is the opposite of eternal life that he speaks about. It's not easy to share the gospel. For some, it can be embarrassing, awkward, even dangerous, as Leah Sharibu knows very well, as she continues to be a captive of Boko Haram. I would ask that you would please pray for Leah, for her safety, for her faithful testimony, for her release, and for God's glory to be known through her. My heart breaks when I think about what she may be going through. The gospel is good news. It's not bad news. It's tremendously good news. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this world. Light broke into darkness, hope into hopelessness. He loves you. It is great news. It causes us to sing. He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. There is good news for the captive, good news for the shamed. There is good news for the one who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save. He's our rescuer. It is good news, and it speaks into the very hard and harsh and dark reality of a broken world and those who are apart from Jesus Christ, our bondage to sin. We see every day the brokenness of our world, and we know every day our own brokenness. Now, a doctor who tells a patient that they have cancer is not causing that cancer, right? A doctor telling a patient that they have cancer is not in order to cause them cancer. A doctor telling them this is not in order to harm. And sharing the gospel is not giving someone spiritual cancer. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The world is already condemned. God sending his Son wasn't in order to condemn it. It was to save it. A doctor is not even worthy to be called a doctor if he or she denies their patient's cancer. And certainly not a worthy doctor if they refuse to treat it. If there is medicine or treatment that will cure that cancer, they are going to use that medicine and provide that treatment and walk patiently, persevering with that patient through that battle. Brothers and sisters, we are surrounded by people who are perishing without Christ. Spiritual cancer patients, many of whom don't even know that they have it. talk clearly with them about truth, the bad news and the very good. Walk with them. Love them as God so loved you. Show them your own scars from your own treatment. As the saying goes, you are the only Jesus that some people will ever see. And some people will never see that Jesus through anyone. In the last 40 years, over 1 billion people have died who never heard of Jesus. This year alone, about 30 million people will perish without ever hearing the gospel. But what if a miracle happened? What if a miracle happened? What if every single Christian in the whole world shared the gospel with every single person who is not a Christian that they know? Every single one of them. That would be a miracle. And what if another miracle happened? What if every single one of those people who are not a Christian, with whom every single Christian in the world shared the gospel, they believed and they gave their lives to Jesus Christ? That would be a miracle. And I hope and I pray that that would happen. And I hope and pray that God will do that work through you. But even if both of those miracles happened, 3 billion people in the world who don't personally know a single Christian will still be lost without the gospel. Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is a promise of God, a wonderful promise. There's no question as to how people can be saved. But then Paul asks some critical questions. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Whoever believes shall not perish, but have eternal life. Anyone who believes. But no one can believe something that they know nothing about. The Lord is calling all of us to be salt and light, to make kingdom impact in every sphere of society. And perhaps the Lord is calling some of you to go to the unreached, to lay aside your profession, and to be one of the maybe 100,000 new missionaries that are needed to reach the unreached with the gospel. Now, not everyone is a missionary. I know that sometimes some very wonderful, well-meaning Christians, even some pastors, have sometimes said, well, we're all missionaries. And part of me kind of smiles when I hear that. Part of me kind of weeps. Because if we buy into this notion that we're all missionaries, that we can all simply stay where we are and share the gospel with those people who are not Christians that we personally know, as I said, 3 billion people will be counted among those who may perish. Missionaries cross cultures and languages and geographical boundaries to share good news with those who otherwise would have no opportunity to believe in God's only Son. There is intentionality, there is calling and church affirmation, there is training, accountability, prayer, support, and mobilization. We are not all missionaries, but we are all called to be salt and light and to pray for the nations. We are not all pastors, but we are all to shepherd people who are under our care. We are not all deacons, but we are all to serve. We are not all elders, but we are all to provide leadership. We are not all preachers, but we are all to preach the gospel to ourselves and to others, like Leah Sharibu preaching the gospel to her Boko Haram captors. And the Lord might be calling some others of you to take up your professions, to use your professions, both your Christian profession and your occupational profession, and to go and to live among the unreached, to be that one friend, that one Christian that a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Hindu might know. You see, the only way that the unreached will be reached is if Christians will go and be Christians in the arts and media, science, finance, sports, technology, education, medicine, you name it. To go and be salt and light in every sphere of society, the places where God has gifted you and trained you to be salt and light in those ways among the unreached peoples of the world. Missionaries alone cannot fulfill the Great Commission. We all need to play a part, just like your pastors alone cannot do this locally. So perhaps you could serve as a dentist in Jakarta, or as a financial analyst in Dubai, or a football coach in China, or an IT professional in India. God can use you. God desires to use you if you will. We have hope to bring. We have hope to share. This mission is possible. But it is impossible unless God's people will play their part. And that line of salvation that extended from the very early days of the church in Acts through various people and various places and various missionaries and various gospel sharings to eventually touch your life, your precious life, can be extended to others through you. Don't let that line end with you. Let it touch the ends of the earth and extend through you until Jesus ushers in all of eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, loving, so loving Father, thank you for so loving the world that you gave us your only Son. What an incredible sacrifice of love. We worship and we bow down before him. And we ask, O God, that you would use us to share with the whole world the good news of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.